How are you doing, Owen?
I'm doing very well. How have you been?
Very good. How are you since Croke Park?
Well, I had a great time in Croke Park. The amount of people that have randomly stopped me in the street saying, oh, I saw you making an arse of yourself in Croke Park at the script, but you did a good job. So, woohoo!
You were absolutely brilliant. You were brilliant. You really got us all going, to be honest.
Oh, listen, thanks so much for having me. I don't know how much or little you saw, but my favourite moment of the build-up was we tried to do a kiss cam where I just said, right, cameraman, so Croke Park's pretty much full. I'm going to point the camera in random spots and we're just going to get people to kiss. But the cameraman was moving a little bit fast for the people to realise they're on screen and kiss. So by the time they realised, he would move on to the next person. So it was the worst kiss cam that's ever happened, but it was good fun.
Yeah. It sounded like it was creating a Mexican wave version of a kiss cam.
Yeah, a little bit of that. But actually, you know what? I didn't talk to you since then, certainly in this kind of forum. Is that the highlight of your career so far?
I think it's got to be, you know. That's the only place we've ever played to that amount of people on our own as a headline band, you know. So yeah, I think that becomes the kind of Everest.
Did you cry? Did anyone cry?
You know, Danny and Glenn always squeeze a tear out. You know what them two are like.
Yeah, very good.
No, I mean, it was one of those things, to be honest. It's a very weird one, because even when I try to remember the show, it's almost like you're trying to spend the whole time just doing your job, that it's hard to, like, don't get me wrong, I was really enjoying myself, but it's hard to take it all in till afterwards, and you slightly take stock then. I still haven't watched it full way through. I just watched half of it the other night on the live stream, and I was like, did I really do that at that time? And did that happen around that time? It just really was like a foreign object in my head, you know.
And here, listen, in terms of moving forward, are you taking a bit of time? Are you going to record some new music? Are you taking stock of your own stuff? What's going on script wise?
We like to evaluate kind of all the music we've done before, and we want to take kind of a year to make a new album. We feel it's really important now to branch the sound out, because those four albums we released, they were always part of kind of an idea in our head that we wanted to do and kind of round this whole story up with four albums, and we're complete with that now. So I think it's in the next stage for us is broaden the sound a little bit and kind of challenge ourselves much more writing-wise. So yeah, we're straight back in the studio. We're in London right now trying to hammer out some new songs and just pretty much add it all the way up to Christmas. We'll take Christmas off and then we'll jump back into it in January.
I saw a little thing. Danny did a Q&A on Twitter the other day. And maybe he was just kind of shooting the breeze with his thoughts, or maybe it's more developed than that. He said he mentioned he'd love to do like an acoustic tour, just the three, as you and him and Glenn.
You know, we had this idea a while ago of doing there's loads of songs on the albums that we never get to play live, but yet they're big fan favourites. We always had this idea of kind of doing, we call it a playlist tour, and go out on an acoustic buzz and let the fans decide what songs they want us to play. So it was always an idea we had. But I love the lads when they say that, because they never consider the fact that we're in the studio the whole time. We've only got gear to make. And then there's just no time to do it. So, but they have to go and say it. And it gets all the fans all going, you know, and it's like, no, don't be saying that.
let's talk about your new entrepreneurial endeavour. I assume it's called Happy Hour in a punny way.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we spell it HAPPIOUR because we feel that we make a happy hour happier. So we kind of have taken the kind of flash sale logic that basically there's a lot of new businesses and new restaurants, new family-driven restaurants that kind of caught my eye. They open for about 6 months and they close. A lot of these people take a big punt, a big shot. They invest a lot of money in their cafes and restaurants, and they just fall to the wayside after a while. There's an awful lot of wasted food. There's an awful lot of quiet time in restaurants and stuff like that. So there's an awful space there that we could help. And what Happy Hour does is it kind of empowers the business, where they know what low periods of time that they have, the quiet time, and they can offer things like maybe breakfast 2-for-1, maybe cocktails 2-for-1, things like that. They can add an offer whatever they want, and they can create moments in those quieter times, which also helps move wasted food and things like that. So there's less wasted food and so on. And we feel it really focuses on small businesses in a way. So I think it helps smaller businesses compete against larger restaurants, because an awful lot of times you get those big chains moving in, like your Wagamamas and people like that, move in, and they kind of squash those sort of smaller family-driven restaurants. This kind of evens the playing field out for them, where, as I said, it's location-based. So what it does, it's kind of smart. So it knows where you are. It makes you offers to only what's around you, so to speak. And then you can then decide from there where you want to go. You can also send that to your friends and invite them to a normal happy hour. There's so many intricacies of it in that way. It's a really clever tool in order to drive people and get them a deal, which I think is more important, because if you use the app, like right now, we'd often come to the studio and I use it, maybe I'm just going to Starbucks, for example, and they throw in a bunch of croissants with the coffee. And it's just really handy way of when you're already at the shop, you already go to those places to already get a little bit of a deal maybe on the morning you walk through and stuff like that. You know?
So like, if, for example, to contextualize it in something that people would use day to day, like Halo or Uber, so you click on, it shows you your GPS location and it'll drop pins or show you icons of, hey, around the corner is a restaurant that's doing 2-for-1 pizza right now or something like that.
Exactly, or there's a burger, you get a free burger with your drink and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, it helps tell you where things are around you if you're looking for something to do. But it also, if you want to discover something, I think what's really great about it, a lot of times there's a lot of great restaurants that people just don't go to because the larger brand names kind of overshadow them. Whereas this will give you a nice, cool offer. Maybe you're out with your friends one night. You go, oh, well, let's see what's out there. You click on the app, and it will say, well, here's a lot of offers. You can choose, do I want pizza, do I want burgers, do I want just drinks, whatever you want. And then it will zero in and say, well, here's a bunch of places around you offering this happy hour to you.